Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing that you have to keep in mind as we go through our epistle text for today is that when all things come down to it, there are really only two religions in the world. The one is the religion of works, and this is man's religion. This is the type of religion which says, in order for me to be blessed by God, in order for me to be saved by God, I must earn his pleasure. I must earn his blessing. And I do this by works and ceremonies which I perform in order to please him so that he will credit me with my obedience and bless me. This is the religion of works, and it is diametrically opposed to the gospel. The gospel is really the only other religion in the world. And it is only the Christian faith that has the gospel. And what is the gospel? That in Jesus Christ, God has done and accomplished for sinners who are utterly incapable of pleasing God because of their sin, and that even their best works are tainted by sin. But what man cannot do, and what all effort on man's part fails to do, God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He has, for once and for all, redeemed us by his precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, so that we may know that our sins are forgiven and that we have a gracious God for Christ's sake. This is good news, because whenever we hear the law, in whatever form the law comes to us, it always condemns us. It always pronounces us guilty of sin. When we look to the law in order to compare ourselves to it and thereby to gain favor in the eyes of God so that we can say to him, look, God, how I have obeyed your law. Every time we try to do that, the law pronounces us guilty and says that we are liable to death and eternal damnation because of our sins. So what man cannot do, earn salvation, God has done through his Son by sending him to be the Redeemer and Savior of sinful mankind. And the good news is that we have full and free salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, these Galatian Christians, they are like many of us today. You know, the Galatians didn't fall into a problem that we have never struggled with. There are many people who are church members and they profess faith in the gospel, but it's so easy because the whole rest of the world believes in works righteousness. It's all about what we do, right? And so the whole world is going this way and we Christians are all going this way. That's the way it is. And so we are tempted to think that, you know, maybe, maybe the world isn't so wrong after all. And sometimes we find ourselves swimming along with them and beginning to think dangerous thoughts that somehow or other I can please God by my good works, never thinking that even the best work that I do is tainted with sin and therefore by itself unacceptable to God. So it is such wonderful good news, which we need to hear over and over again because we hold it so tenuously. It is such good news that what we cannot do, God has done in Christ. And that's why our response, all the good works that we do, all the service of God that we render, is not an attempt to gain favor. We already have His favor. It is a thank offering to God. So when we come to church, when we give our offerings, when we serve our neighbor in various ways, we are not earning favor in the eyes of God. We are thanking Him for His mercy to us. The Galatians had some false teachers who came in. They said to them, you know, you guys have kind of started off sincerely, but you've gotten started on the wrong foot. And the problem with you is you've been listening to this Paul character. And now, Paul means well, but he doesn't really understand how it actually is. He's told you that your salvation is a free gift which you don't earn, and that you are saved to the uttermost by faith in Christ and by faith in Christ alone. Listen, I know it sounds too good to be true, because it is too good to be true. You must first be circumcised. And then you must keep the law of Moses. And once you have been circumcised and you have begun to keep the law of Moses, then Christ comes into the picture and He kind of finishes the job for you. You know, it's like the idea that many Christians in the modern world think, and it goes like this. You have to get the ball rolling. And you do this by trying your best to be obedient to God's word. And then God, who has held Himself aloof, He's watching you, and when He perceives that you are really sincere in your effort to please Him by your works, and He sees that you really mean business, He will dole out to you some grace so that with His help, you will be able to do more good works by which you will earn more grace from Him. All right? This is the modern form of the Galatian heresy. It takes Jesus, the one and only Savior of sinners, and turns Him into a kind of a going to teacher after school for extra help. And that, my friends, is not salvation. You are either saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone, or you are not saved at all. And so to paint the picture for the Galatians, he said to them, tell me, you guys, you desire to be under the law. I never told you this, but you desire to be under law. Don't you hear the law? In other words, he's saying, do you have any idea what you're getting yourself into? Of course they don't. They've been impressed by these new teachers that have come in, and they seem to be so spiritual, and they seem to be such obedient, holy, pious people. How can they be wrong? Let me tell you something. When the devil comes into your life, he doesn't come in a red suit with a pitchfork. He comes looking like a holy saint of God. Even the devil himself masquerades as an angel of light. And some of the most holy seeming people in the world, some of the most dedicated people in the world, are servants of the devil who have come to mislead people and to teach what is not in accord with the gospel of Christ. So he says to the Galatians, as he says to us, Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. In other words, God had made a promise, but time was ticking, and they weren't getting any younger, Abraham and Sarah. So Sarah comes up with a scheme. She says, you take Hagar and go in with her, and her child will be mine. And that way we can make it happen, and we'll have an heir. And God says to Abraham, not the way it works. It's not the way it works. And so Abraham receives the promise that Sarah, the barren woman who all of her life was unable to have children, Sarah would be the one through whom the child of promise would be born. And so Abraham dutifully, you know, his wife said so, he dutifully goes into Hagar, the slave girl, and she has a son, Ishmael. But God says, no, that's not the one. That's not the way I planned it. That's not the way I do things. Right? I do things the way that the world looks at it and says, that's impossible. Right? And so Sarah conceives, and she bears a son and calls his name Isaac, which means he laughs, because the Lord is the one who by his gracious work enables us to delight in the unlikely wonderfulness of what he accomplishes. So now he's got these two sons, and the one son represents Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which is in bondage with her children. What's he saying there? He's saying that the people of Israel had gotten themselves derailed from the hope of the gospel, and they had turned God's law into a works righteousness self-salvation scheme. And so, when the Messiah came to them, they rejected him because he didn't fit in with their works righteousness. They had an insufficient doctrine of sin, and they had an insufficient understanding of the good news of the promise of God in Christ. And so they rejected their Messiah, and they receive what those who trust in their own works receive, which is the big disappointment. It is so shocking when they say, when the five foolish virgins say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he says, depart, I never knew you. You see, when we set the gospel aside, when we forget about the gospel and we embark on a lifelong journey of pleasing God by our own good works, What a great disappointment the day of judgment will be when we learn finally, once and for all, and too late, that we have missed the whole thing. So here he says, so the son of the bondwoman, the son of the free woman, Hagar, the slave girl, is like the people of Israel who are now living outside and apart from Christ because of their unbelief. While we, the children of the gospel, the children of Christ's promise and his once and for all accomplishment, we are the inhabitants of Jerusalem from above, of spiritual Jerusalem, the holy church of God. And so, and how does this happen? Because God, how many times in the Old Testament, you're reading along, and the woman who is the one involved in the progeny of the messianic line is barren, right? Over and over again, we have a person receives the promise that the Messiah will come through his lineage, but his wife is barren. One, two, three, and you can keep counting. Why? Because God wants us to know by these pictures in the Old Testament that it's all his work and his grace and his accomplishment. That is why when Jesus was about to give up the ghost and die, he said, "It is finished. It is accomplished." Just like those wonderful women like Sarah, who for all of her life had been barren, and she is able to laugh with her husband as she cradles her own son in her arms, because God has done the impossible and he has shown grace and saving power where man's work couldn't get the job done. And so he says, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So here what St. Paul is saying is, if you're going to buy into the works righteousness scheme, if you're going to think that you can please God all on your own by your good works, you are going to end up being cast out with the bondwoman and her son, and you will not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, he finally says, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman. No, we are of Jerusalem, which is above. We are the children of the free woman. We are those who in Christ have received the free gift of redemption and salvation, which is now ours, and therefore we can have confidence, and in that confidence we can then consequently do good works in accordance with the Ten Commandments, not in order to earn points with God, but in order to say thank you for the wonderful salvation that you have provided for me, that I may be in peace and in spiritual security, because Jesus is my Redeemer and I am his. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.